Stay tuned for the premier edition of Highways and Byways with your highway minister and your host, Wyatt Timmons.
Well, greetings to everyone. Welcome to Highways and Byways. We're just so glad that this CD has found its way into your hands. So what is Highways and Byways? Well, it's a number of things. But for one thing, it's unique. Highways and Byways is a monthly Christian audio magazine designed with the professional driver in mind. We don't know of anything quite like it anywhere. Our goal is to stir you up in the spirit, encourage you, and give you a little enjoyment while you travel the highways and byways of this great country of ours. Now, things move along pretty quickly with a lot of topical thoughts, a short word for the road, an answer to a tough Bible question, or maybe one of those spiritual kind of questions that we all have from time to time. We have a few creation versus evolution segments with Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. We have an American inspiration moment, some comedy spots, and a few other things along the way. I believe there's a thing or two for everyone. Maybe three or four. Now, in between all of this, we like to spin just a whole bunch of great music that you're not going to hear a whole lot anywhere else. That's because we have a real soft spot for the independent artist. About 75% of the music that we spin on Highways and Byways is from independent artists. Now, along with those, we have some legends in the music industry who have done some great Christian projects as well, and you'll recognize them when we spin them. Other kinds of folks are going to enjoy this audio magazine as well, but being a driver myself, I know how difficult it is to get home with any spare time, much more to be able to get to church regular-like. Now, we don't pretend for a moment to be able to replace the church, and we believe that everybody needs a safe spiritual covering in their lives, a solid Christian fellowship that can only be found when we gather with like-minded believers. That's what the church is, by the way. It's not a building. It's not a denomination. The church is anywhere and everywhere that two or more are gathered in Jesus' name. We're not ashamed to say the name of Jesus around here, but we pass no judgment on one who doesn't quite see things our way. In fact, we welcome your comments and your questions and suggestions for future editions of Highways and Byways. We'll be giving out our contact information at the end of this audio magazine on the last track, including a 24-hour voicemail number where you can call with those comments, suggestions, and questions. And we'll try to include as many of them as we can on future editions. And you're welcome to contact us and get on the monthly mailing list for future volumes of Highways and Byways. Become a highway minister yourself. Just contact us and we'll tell you how. And you can even go to the website and check it out there at highwaymag.com. That mag is short for magazine, highwaymag.com. Now, I said that the church is anywhere and everywhere that two or more are gathered in Jesus' name. Right now, I'm here and you're there, and that makes two. So, let's have church.
Paul was a preacher at New Bethel Baptist Church. I can still recall him standing tall, delivering the word. But the strongest sermons that he preached weren't from that old pulpit. No, his message came through clearest in the way my grandpa lived. He told me, show up your sermon if you want it to ring true. Your life's the only preaching folks will pay attention to. If you ain't walking the walk, then son, ain't talking, that talk won't do. Show 'em your sermon and the message will shine through. So many times I've seen him down Forrester's Cafe with 20 bucks and breakfast for some soul who'd lost their way. Poor folks, sick folks, hungry folks, shut-ins and bereaved. He knew he'd stand right by their side in their hour of need. He told me, show 'em your sermon if you want it to ring true. Your life's the only preaching
keep talking, that talk won't do. Show them your sermon, and the message will shine through. Well, I didn't make a preacher like my grandpa thought I might, but I hope there's still a sermon in the way I lead my life. Yeah, show them your sermon if you want it to ring true. Your life's the only preaching folks will pay attention to. If you ain't walking the walk, then sonny, talk, and that talk won't do. Show them your sermon, and the message will shine through.
I told you you were speeding.
Don't worry. I got pulled over by this guy last month, and I pleaded with him not to give me a ticket, and he gave me a warning.
Good afternoon. Oh, Mr. Smith, speeding again.
Hi, officer. Yeah, I know. I promise I'll never do it again. Okay?
I can't believe this.
Shh.
Please sign here.
You're giving me a ticket?
You were speeding, sir.
That's not fair. You gave me a warning last time.
Oh, I see. You want justice.
So,
to be fair, I'll not only give you a ticket for speeding today, I'll also give you the ticket you deserved last month.
Do you continue to live sinfully because you expect God to have mercy? Well, the Bible says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. God expects us to live holy lives. His grace is amazing. Don't take it for granted. Show your gratitude with obedience. A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-523-8669. LifelinePro.com.
Hey friends, it's your host, Wyatt Timmons. I said that things move along pretty quick here on highways and byways, and that's just what they do. We're about ready to open up a can of worms on that old debate about evolution versus creation. But this time around, we have an expert in the field on creation and evolution, a professor that knows both sides of the whole argument. Let's hear what Ken Ham from over at Answers in Genesis has to say to stir up the coals a bit. There's probably no better place to start than with that old Big Bang theory, right? Well, here's Ken Ham with a few thoughts to get us rolling.
Well, you know, evolutionists, and sadly some Christians too, claim that billions of years ago, all the mass in the universe was concentrated into a tiny ball, maybe as small as a pinhead. But then, for some reason, it exploded with enough force to cause this tiny ball to expand and scatter throughout the universe. Now, as a result, they say, all the galaxies, solar systems, planets, and eventually life were formed. But first of all, where did the matter come from to form this tiny ball? And secondly, how is it possible to condense all of the matter of the universe into such a small size and keep it that way? And finally, what caused it to explode? You see, these are all unanswered questions. Now, the evolutionists say that creation is unbelievable, yet the Bible tells us that in the beginning was God, and that an infinitely intelligent God created matter. It also tells us that he made this matter into stars and spread them out across the heavens. He created all life. The exciting thing about being a Christian is that we have answers. Answers from Genesis to even the basic questions of life. Well, our Creation magazine once featured an interview with Dr. Danny Faulkner, an astronomy professor at a major American university. His response to the Big Bang was, quote, "I'm really concerned with people who put that much faith in the Big Bang. As a Christian, my biggest concern is that it doesn't agree at all with the Genesis account of how the world came to be. And my big concern is that when you make that the fingerprint of God, as it were, then when the Big Bang is discarded, what does that do to Christianity?" End of quote. Dr. Faulkner points out a very important point that all Christians need to take seriously. You see, if a Christian has accepted the Big Bang as fact and then has used this belief to reinterpret God's word in Genesis, what happens when the Big Bang theory is finally discarded? This means they have to change their understanding of the Bible. We need to stick with the answers found in Genesis.
My Bible about those mighty men of old who fought the fight courageous with hearts faithful and bold. I'm glad that they were able, but looking back I see that God was more impressed with their availability.
everything turned to blue. Moses was there when the water parted and the Israelites walked on through. Joshua was there when the shout went up and the walls fell in the dirt. They were almighty members when the miracle began. God who does the work. Now I have seen some miracles in my life, no doubt. My ship was going under, but the Lord, he pulled me out. And I know it's not because of who I am or what I've done, except the day I took my life and gave it to his son. Daniel was there in the lion's den when those cats forgot to chew. Elijah was there when God started cooking up a Baal barbecue. David was there slinging stones. Goliath hit the dirt. They were almighty members when the miracles begin. It's God who does the work. Everything turned to blue. Moses was there when the water parted and the Israelites walked on through. Joshua was there when the shout went up and the walls fell in the dirt. They were almighty member when the miracles began. It's God who does the work. Miracles begin. God does the work.
The other day, my pastor called me up and said, Gary, I want you to ride with me down to the radio station today. I got a little small radio show I'm going to do today. I'd like you to ride with me, and I'll buy you breakfast. I said, sure. I hadn't seen my pastor in a few days, and thought I'd like to spend a little time with him. And so we meet, and we start going down the road, and he's driving. He says, well, I have a little toothache problem today, and I'll pull over and get me a little toothache medicine, and we'll be on our way. So he pulls over and gets out, shuts the door. I see him walk in the store. See him come back out. He's got a little brown bag in his hand. He sits down in the car, puts in gear, begins to take off. And he's got the bag set in the seat right between his legs here. And every now and then I notice he'll take a little swig of it. And he says, oh, that helps my tooth. So a little while later, I notice he started swerving on the road a little bit and everything. And I didn't say nothing. By the time I look behind us, I see this police light right behind us with a siren ring on. And I said, Pastor, I believe there's a cop behind us. He said, sure is. Let me pull over. So the pastor pulls over, side of the road there, and rolls his window down. A policeman comes walking up and says, can I see your driver's license? So he pulls him out and says, Pastor Mosley, he says, you know why I pulled you over? He said, oh, no, sir, no, sir, no, sir, I don't. He said, well, what's that down between your legs and that brown bag down there? He said, oh, that's water. He said, water? He said, He said, let me have that little bag then. So he reaches down and grabs that bag from the pastor, smells it a little bit, turns the bottom, takes a little drink, goes, He said, that ain't water, that's wine. And by that time, the pastor raises both hands toward heaven and says, praise God, he's done it again.
Ain't it incredible? The things that we'll give God credit for and the things that we won't even think twice about taking credit for ourselves. For instance, I try to be really safe and conscientious when I'm out in the big truck, and I consider myself to be a pretty safe driver. But I still give thanks to God when I pull up to the house after another run. In fact, that might make for a pretty good segment for a future volume. Testimony from drivers who've experienced some kind of a miracle. If you've experienced some kind of a miracle out on the road, something that's taken place that you know the hand of God was in it, we'd love to hear about it. Just use that contact information on the last track of the CD. Let us know. Give us a good report.
You have shown yourself to me for time. In all my wanderings, you've broken down my barriers. Cry me down, You have given all the answers to my soul. You have given me hope again. And I'm thanking you for mercy and the love it gives and the light that it keeps letting in and you shine your mercy. Mercy, mercy on me. So many times have passed to me quickly by. Think I'm so worthy, Lord. Need your wisdom every day. Oh, humble me, humble me. When I fall, dear Lord, please help me to bow down. Help me know that I need you now. So I'm praying, Lord, for mercy and the love it gives and the light that it keeps.
Wouldn't be nearly as exciting without those stuntmen. You know, those high-priced stars aren't going to take all the risks that give the viewer those big thrills. Every once in a while, a script will call for a man to fall off a building or a cliff. And that star says, "I'm out of here, folks." But later, the viewer will see a man hurtling through the air backwards, and you know it isn't a dummy because his arms are flailing. Or maybe some might argue that the stuntman is a dummy for taking a plunge like that. But it sure looks like we won't be seeing that falling man again. Oh, but appearances aren't everything. No, it looks like he's headed for a crash, but he's actually headed for a net. Well, I'm Ron Hutchcraft, and I want to have a word with you today about always there to catch you. That man going over the edge, arms flailing, out of control, that could be a picture of David's condition in our word for today from the Word of God. It's in Psalm 94, beginning at verse 17. In fact, it could be a picture of your condition right now. David says, "Unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. When I said, 'My foot is slipping,' your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul." The psalmist has good news for those of us who may be feeling like we're close to the edge or even over the edge. There's a net there to catch you. The Lord's support, His love, and His consolation. If you belong to the Father through Jesus Christ, there is always, always someone there to catch you. David was falling, he said, slipping, anxious, feeling like he was going down. Maybe some feelings you can relate to.
And remember, this was the one that was called the man after God's own heart. I don't think it's that God was angry with him, but he allowed his man to be pushed right to the breaking point. Now, you have this ironclad guarantee from your Heavenly Father that though he may allow you to be pushed to the breaking point, he will never allow you to be pushed beyond the breaking point. In God's own words, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Now, God will allow you seasons of desperation because he can do so much with us in our desperate times. Desperation drives us to release all our earth idols and cling just to him. Faith grows only when it is stretched, sometimes to the breaking point. But then in just the last minute, God will bring you the specific encouragement you need just in time to break your fall. And he knows just what kind of customized encouragement you need for a moment like this. Because God sometimes waits to bring an answer, it looks to us like an answer isn't coming. Wrong. When that stuntman is falling, oh, it looks like he's headed for a crash, when he's actually headed for a net. Well, so are you. That's why you can experience peace when everything you depend on is shaking. Hope when everything feels hopeless. Buoyancy when it feels like you're sinking. Your Heavenly Father will not let you crash. He is always there to catch you.
Thanks, Ron. You may be interested in Ron's audio series, Changing Seasons, How to Meet the Challenges of the Seasons of Your Life. To find out more about this powerful audio presentation or for a free transcript, number 4385, always there to catch you, please give us a call. Our number is toll-free, 1-877-741-1200. That's 877-741-1200. Or you can stop by our internet website. The address is hutchcraft.com.
Up my cross and carry it daily, and let myself be crucified. To be held in the arms of one so faithful, one whose forgiveness overflows, to be given a grace that he gave freely, to one so lost and all alone. What have I done to deserve this? Deserve inside such peacefulness. Deserve to kneel at the feet of Jesus. What have I done to deserve this? But the ransom he paid for, whoever will call upon his name. I owed a debt that I could not pay for, he paid a debt that he did not owe. So what have I done to deserve this? Deserve inside such peacefulness. Deserve to kneel at the feet of Jesus. What have I done to deserve this? So what have I done to deserve this? Deserve inside such peacefulness. Deserve to kneel at the feet of Jesus. What have I done to deserve this? What have I done to deserve?
Calling the unknown approaching vessel, you are on a collision course with us. Please change your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision.
Recommend you change your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid collision.
When we are told to change course, we have a choice to make. Do we change or continue on the same path?
We are a naval ship. This is the captain speaking. I say again, divert your course.
No, I say again, divert your course.
Jesus gave us a choice to make when he said, "You are from below, I am from above. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins."
Sir, we could change course here.
We have the right of way. I am not changing our course. Unknown vessel, this is an aircraft carrier. We are a large warship. Divert your course now.
This is a lighthouse. Your call.
When it comes to Jesus, what choice will you make?
Changing course. We really don't like being forced into changing the course or the direction that we're going, do we? But we get our minds set on the mission and we go forward to conquer. We're not about to let anything easily change the road that we're on or even the lane that we choose to get there in. Matter of fact, some folks don't even like yielding to someone else, even if it only means a few extra seconds before they get on the highway coming down that on-ramp. Now, these days, I don't see much of the open highways because I'm always running the metropolitan areas of the East Coast. You know, there's no shortage of on-ramps in this neck of the woods, and you know as well as I do, there's never any shortage of those kind of folks who simply have no intention of yielding as they enter the highway. They're on their own little mission to get on course and stay on course no matter what. How many times a day do we see that driver on a mission trying to force a big truck over into the next lane so as they can get on course? Now, they're blind to the fact that your truck has nowhere to go. You've got someone in the lane to your left, you got another truck far too close to your fanny for you to hit the brakes, and you know that the car isn't going to make it in time before the end of the ramp. Still, they act like you're the one who needs to yield, and somehow they have it in their mind that you're going to be the one to do it. They just keep going full steam ahead until they have absolutely no choice but to hit their brakes and do what the sign said they needed to do in the first place. They yield. You know, all this talk about yielding, it makes me think of a verse from Romans 6:16. There it says that, "Do you not know that whoever you yield yourselves to, it is to that one that you're a slave? Either you yield yourself to the master of sin, and that leads to death, or you yield to the obedience of God, and that leads to righteousness." Just like the driver of that car, trying to force their way on the road instead of obeying the word yield, we do this to God. How many times have we known what God has spoken to us in our hearts and we just pedal to the metal trying to force our way on course before the timing that God has in mind for us? You know, there's another similarity between that car coming down on the on-ramp and ourselves. The driver of that car has two choices. They're going to hit the brakes, slow down, and yield, or they're going to crash big time. That's the position we put God in sometimes. He's trying to tell us to slow down, put the brakes on, yield to His words. And we're either going to crash or we're going to yield. Now, I have no idea what God's Holy Spirit might be telling you to yield about, my friend, but whatever it is, know this. When we yield to the love and the direction of God in our lives, we'll always be in the proper lane and we'll always be right on course. And we're always going to get to our destination in His perfect timing. Thank God for yield signs in our lives.
Bone ties and sweet buns I can handle. I can fly through potholes and loose gravel. Go 90 miles an hour with no headlights in the dark. 'Cause the Lord has got His hands upon the wheel of my heart. Roll down the window. Because the Lord has got His hands upon the wheel. Everything about Him is real. My life will never miss the mark. 'Cause the Lord has got His hands upon the wheel of my heart. Dead ends won't stop to slow me down. No deed to the sound of truth.
spot. Yeah, the Lord has got his hand upon the wheel of my heart. Roll down the window, let the spirit flow. Turn up the music on God's radio. Jesus is driving, put the pedal to the floor. Get ready for the ride that God's got in store. Because the Lord has got his hand upon the wheel.
And Jerry Smathers, he's squirrely.
Hey, what's that?
What's what?
Well, that thing around your neck.
Oh, you mean this thing?
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of a fish.
Well, let me see it. IXOYE. What's that mean?
Well, it means I got born again, kinda.
Born again? You mean you're a Christian?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Boy, Squirrely, does Dad know about this?
No. Do you think he's gonna holler at me and stuff?
I don't know, Squirrely. You've never done anything like this before. What would make you go and do a goofy thing like that?
Well, I don't know why. They were just studying the Bible, and they read the part that said if I didn't, I'd go to hell. But that God loved me, and he didn't want me to go to hell. And that if I didn't want to go to hell, what I had to do was repent from all the bad stuff that I did and accept Jesus as my Savior and live my life for him. And then I could go to heaven.
Well, what does all that mean?
Well, it means that instead of doing all the things that I want to do, that I should only do the things that the Bible says to do, like being nice to people and not being selfish and praying and reading the Bible every day.
Gee, sounds kind of creepy if you ask me.
Well, I know it does at first. Well, I didn't think I was going to like reading my Bible every day because it always sounds so boring when Reverend Watkins reads it. But I really like it now.
You got a Bible?
Yeah, they gave it to me at camp. Look, it's got pictures and maps,
wow.
And it's written so I can understand what it means.
Hey, that's kind of neat.
Yeah, and they got a prayer group and believers club and lots of other things to help me grow in the Lord. At first, I thought it was dumb to be a Christian because it wasn't any fun. But it's really neat, huh, Wally?
Well, I guess so. So long as you like it. I wouldn't do it, though.
Why not, Wally?
Well, because, Squirrely, if I stopped doing all the stuff I'm not supposed to be doing, I wouldn't have anything left to do.
Wally, can I pray for you?
I guess so. But why would you want to do that?
Because I really love you, Wally. You're the best brother a guy ever had.
Ah, cut it out, Squirrely.
Have no fear, he
Hanson's here.
Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Eddie.
Hiya, men. What's shaking?
Nothing much. I was just gonna go over to Stubby Ferguson's house and see his iguana.
Oh, yeah? Well, maybe you can get a date with one of his lizards, huh? Hey, what are you dressed up for, Squirt? You look like you just climbed out from under a rock.
Well, I'm gonna go down today and help paint the church, Eddie.
Paint the church? Who's making you do that?
Well, no one's making me do it. I just want to, that's all.
You mean they ain't paying you? You're doing it for free?
Well, yeah.
Hey, Wally, I thought you were this guy's brother. Squirty, let me tell you about churches. They're a ripoff. My old man says they're the biggest crooks in town. They don't have to pay for taxes or anything. They just get people like you to do all the work for free and keep all the money from the offerings for themselves. And I hear some of those offerings over $1 million, Sam.
But that's not true, Eddie. Our church doesn't have $1 million. What, some of the pastors even have extra jobs just to feed their families?
That's all a scam, Sam. You watch. One day you'll wake up and they'll all be gone to the Bahamas or something.
Lay off of Eddie, will ya?
Okay, but don't say I didn't warn you. Christians are nothing but a bunch of phonies.
Cut it out, Eddie. Why don't you wait for me downstairs?
Hey, don't get mad, Dad. I'm going. Hey, St. Theodore, see you later, huh?
Sorry about that, Squirrely. Well, you know how Eddie is.
Well, it's okay, Wally. He doesn't bother me. I know there's lots of people who say they're Christians, but they really aren't. What I don't understand is how God could love a guy like Eddie. He must be an awfully big God.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, he is an awfully big God, and he's got big wide open arms waiting with a big heart to welcome us in when we come to the point where we recognize his majesty. And I pull myself out of the bunk in the morning to get rolling down the road, and no matter where I'm at, in the thick of it in a city, I can still see his majesty all around me. Beyond the buildings, beyond the humanity running back and forth on the highways, I can see the awesome grandeur of his creation. But there's something else that's pretty big. It's that big gap inside each and every one of us that exists until we allow Jesus to fill it up, until we take the time to submit ourselves to His majesty, humble ourselves before Him, and acknowledge that He is the creator of the universe. Sounds pretty simple, right? Well, it really is that simple. I want to encourage you to call upon the name of Jesus. You don't have to wait until you're at your most desperate moment. Wherever you're at right now, He's ready to meet you and to turn your life around.
Out here in the desert, it's an unforgiving land. The sun don't show no mercy on a hot and thirsty man. My soul cried out for water, but every teardrop fell in vain. Till I got down on my knees and called on Him.
Thunder. This is heaven. May I help you?
Hello, I'd like to know how to get to heaven.
Well, sir, are you a sinner?
No, I'm a good guy.
Oh, then you're sinless.
Well, I'm not sinless, but I've done more good than bad.
Then you are a sinner. In that case...
Well, what am I supposed to be? Perfect?
Yes.
Well, then how do I get into heaven?
First step is to admit that you're a sinner.
But I'm not!
I'm sorry, we can't help you. Thank you. Hello, this is heaven.
Compared to some of the people I work with, I'm a pretty good guy.
But we're not comparing you to others, sir. We're comparing you to God.
Well, that's impossible.
Okay, thank you. Hello, this is...
Okay, suppose I'm not perfect, then what?
Then you need to ask Jesus to forgive you for being a sinner.
But I'm not that bad.
Okay,
thank... Well, wait. Now, I asked Jesus to forgive me, then what?
Well, since he already paid the penalty for your sin, then he will forgive you.
A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-523-8669. LifelinePro.com.
Can I help you?
Oh, yeah, I'm looking for a 777 Pearly Gates.
This is 777 Pearly Gates.
Oh, great. Is there a door or driver or something I can get in?
Wait, what's your name?
Suppose you want to check, see if I got a reservation, huh?
Something like that.
No problem. The name's Grover. Claude Grover.
Let's see. Gibson, Grant, Green, Gunderson. I'm sorry. No Grover.
What do you mean, no Grover? There must be some kind of mistake.
No mistake. Your name's not in the book.
After all the things I done for you?
I know what you've done.
Oh, yeah, I know you're supposed to know, but what about the time I donated $20 to that telethon, huh? See, I saved the receipt. Tax deductible, you know. And what about when I was cheap with my kids' Trailblazers Club and they wanted the little colored boy to join, huh? Yeah, I didn't complain. I even gave him his own little tent on campouts.
I'm sorry, Claude. That doesn't make it.
Oh, I get it. Probably want something religious, huh? Well, okay, let's be honest for a minute here. I admit, I missed my share of Sundays, but so what? I mean, everybody misses them. Hey, you gotta admit, I went every Easter and a couple of Christmases too. And remember that time a few years back when my wife was nagging me? I went two Sundays in a row, two in a row! Even missed a Rams game.
Heard it, though. Had a little earplug in my transistor.
You know, I didn't think anyone could hear those things, but after the sermon, the preacher wanted to know who won the game. He was quite a fan.
Well, Claude, there still isn't a place for you.
Well, what you want me to do anyways, huh? Hey, you want me going door to door with Bibles? You want me to put an I Found It bumper sticker on the Pinto?
You didn't have to do anything. I did all the work for you. If only you would have accepted it.
Now, they act like I'm some kind of a bad guy or something. Look, like I never killed anybody. I didn't rob no banks. So listen, fella, I can see you keeping those guys out. But this is me, Claude Grover, you know, the life of the party. Lamp Shades Grover, good old law-abiding American citizen. Now, I never did nothing, really wrong.
Claude, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Oh, yeah? If all of us have sinned, then none of us have a chance. That's not fair. You're supposed to be fair. How do you fix that?
I died for you, so that by my grace you could redeem yourself.
What do you mean you died for me? Who are you anyway?
You don't even know me. I'm Jesus Christ.
Oh, come on. Who are you really? Where's St. Peter anyway?
I've told you. Now go.
Now, hang on. Look, is there a back door or something? I could wash dishes. I love to wash dishes.
I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Maybe there's somebody else I can talk to, or the manager, or the owner. Let me speak to the owner.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Hardy, hardy, hardy. How many times I heard a line like that before?
It doesn't matter how many times you heard it. It only matters if you believe it.
Well, that's just great. Well, where do I go now? I got all this time off from work. I got my camera, the film, and flashbulbs. You know how I'm always forgetting flashbulbs.
Mr. Grover?
Yes?
We have a place for you over here.
Well, all right. That's what I call service. Voice I recognize anyway. Geez, this beaver's getting hot in here.
Well, we sure hope you're enjoying this first volume of Highways and Byways. You can contact us and let us know with the contact information that you'll find on the last track of this CD. We'll also tell you how to subscribe to Highways and Byways there so you can have it sent directly to your address every month. There's no telling when you'll get back to the truck stop that you may have picked up this CD, and there's no telling if there'll even be a copy there by the time you get back. Now, we sponsor as many truck stops as we can here at House of Prayer Ministries, and we're constantly on the lookout for folks who have a heart to sponsor a truck stop with a box or two of CDs each month, or maybe even become a highway minister along with us. Now, I mentioned House of Prayer Ministries, and that's because House of Prayer Ministries is the main sponsor and the producer of this monthly audio magazine that we call Highways and Byways. When you get a chance, check out our main ministry website at prayerhouses.com. That's prayerhouses.com. If you didn't catch it, you can get it on the last track, like I said. Now, you'll see just a whole bunch of things that we do and outreaches that we sponsor there, and that includes a weekly radio program on a few local radio stations. That program's called House of Prayer Radio. As a matter of fact, our next segment is a short word for the day on the word alive from a previous radio broadcast. So let's listen in on, well, me. Well, here's a question that'll seem absolutely silly on the surface. Are you alive this morning? Now, I don't mean simply breathing air and getting by. I'm not just speaking about getting up in the morning and going off to the salt mines kind of alive as though we were the living dead. I'm talking about I'm glad God woke me up in my right mind kind of alive. I'm talking about the kind of alive that recognizes the awesome wonderment of creation all around us and is glad to be blessed by it. No, I haven't had too much coffee this morning. In fact, I don't even drink this stuff. I've just never acquired a taste for it. But I absolutely love the smell of fresh brewing coffee, if that counts for anything. It's one of those little simple pleasures that's part of being alive. You know, it's kind of funny when you stop and think about it, but have you ever noticed that two people can experience the same thing and one will think of it as a routine given, while another person will view that same thing as a wonderful simple pleasure of life? Well, that's the way some people look at life, you know. One person sees life as something that they have to go through as though it's an automatic kind of thing, while another will be full of awestruck gratitude to their Creator for life abundant. Well, here's a short word for the day that hopefully will get us all thinking a bit about this life that we live and what we're doing with it. I want to read a passage from 1 Thessalonians in the 4th chapter. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. Now listen to the definition for this word alive from the Greek text here. And the word means, of course, to live and to breathe and be among the living, but it also means this, to enjoy real life, to have true life worthy of the name life, active, blessed, endless in the kingdom of God. Wow, that's a mouthful of definition, but this is the real life that makes living out life in the flesh so exciting. This body is a temporary home for my endless, active life in the kingdom of God. Now, we've probably all heard the term born again. Jesus used that term in a conversation with a man once, and at first the man didn't understand how he could be born again. He even asked Jesus this question, how can a man enter back into the womb of his mother and be born again? Well, of course, Jesus was speaking of our spiritual birth, and there's this great example we can see from the story of the prodigal son. You know, the one who was aware of the proper godly values that we should live by, but chose to rebel and resist following that proper way. One day, in the midst of the trouble and despair that he found himself in, after he had made a real mess of his life, the Bible says that he came to his senses. When he returned home in humility, his father rejoiced at the fact that his child had matured and come to his senses. I read from Luke 15. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he's found. That's what the father's response was when the son that stayed at home questioned why there should be a party over this brother of his returning. The father said, he was dead, but now he's alive. And that's the same word there. It means to be restored to a correct life in this case, one who returns to a better moral state of living. The father said that his son had been dead, but now he was alive. This saying describes all of us this day, doesn't it? I mean, either you're living a full, meaningful life, full of blessings, or you're one of the walking dead. It doesn't have to stay that way, you know. Jesus said that except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot go to heaven. And that's from the Gospel of John. Being born of the water happened when your mother's water broke and you popped out. Being born of the Spirit happens when we recognize that we're dead in our own sinful nature and we decide to finally do something about it. In fact, the only thing you can do about it is to invite the Creator of the universe to breathe His Holy Spirit of life into you. It is then that we're transformed from the living dead to the living and alive. I want to encourage you this day to do the thing that you've been putting off for far too long now. Here's one final verse for you to meditate upon for today, from Acts 17. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are God's offspring. Now consider your word for the day and ask yourself, will I be alive for all eternity?
Never been one for emotional hype. I sail my ship with a steady hand. No, you won't find me jumping pews. Someday if you see me sitting next to you, well, there's one thing you need to understand. I feel like shouting every time I read. God loved me so much that He died for me. My sins are forgiven and forgotten for good, and Jesus is returning like He said He would. My future is determined and it's guaranteed. His blood's all a measure and it's just for me. I'm telling you without a doubt, it's worth shouting about. Wear my heart on my sleeve. If you see me cry, I wonder what it could be. I'm not sad, these are tears of joy. Cause I know who and what I was. Till I gave my heart to the Lord of love. He gave me a victory that could not destroy. I feel like shouting every time I read. God loves me so much that He died for me. My sins are forgiven and forgotten for good. And Jesus is returning like He said He would. Jesus is returning like He said He would. My future is determined and it's guaranteed. His blood bought a mansion and it's just for me. I'm telling you without a doubt that's worth shouting about. Oh, oh, I'm telling you without a doubt that's worth shouting about. Shouting about.
Seriously ill and weeks from death, President Franklin D. Roosevelt took the oath of office for the fourth time. No ceremony or formal celebration was held because of the war. But his words contain a powerful message. He said, "Almighty God has blessed our land in many ways. He's given our people stout hearts and strong arms with which to strike mighty blows for freedom and truth. So we pray to him now for the vision to see our way clearly, to see the way that leads to a better life for ourselves and for all our fellow men, to the achievement of his will on earth." President Franklin D. Roosevelt is today's American inspiration. You too can be an American inspiration by joining the Presidential Prayer Team. Visit our website to read today's presidential prayer requests at presidentialprayerteam.org. That's presidentialprayerteam.org or call 1-800-295-1235.
So, Frank, how come you don't go to church?
Because I hate hypocrites. Every church I've ever gone to was full of liars, cheaters, and thieves.
Well, you've probably never been to this church.
This one here?
Yeah. This church knows that if its members sin, then someone like you might decide not to go to church and get to know God. So, you have to apply to attend this church.
Really?
Oh, yeah. All those other churches let anybody in. As a matter of fact, they even encourage sinners to attend, but not this church.
Wow. Do you think they'll accept my application?
Go in and ask.
Okay. There's nobody inside.
Well, of course not. There are no churches without sinners because we are all sinners in need of God's help and each other's encouragement.
It's just that I've seen too many hypocrites in churches.
Frank, if a hypocrite is between you and God, guess who's closer to God? At least he's in a place where he can get help.
I don't know if you struggle at all. I don't know if sometimes you fall, but I do. God knows I do. See, I've fallen and I made mistakes. I've even sinned and I've lost my way, but God knows I'm just a man. Just a man with weaknesses. I'm not trying to make excuses, but God's love is unconditional. It's like my wife who came to me. I was struggling, it was plain to see. She gave me a note, and on it she had wrote, "You're struggling and you feel condemned, but saving you was worth it to him. So open up your heart and let the healing start. God knows we struggle in life. He knows the pain and the suffering inside, but he has given us a remedy. It's his love and his grace,
and it's free.
God knows we struggle in life. He knows the pain and the suffering inside. He has given us a remedy. It's his love and his grace, and it's free."
Well, that's pretty much it for this volume of Highways and Byways, my friend. All of the contact information can be found on the next track of this CD, and there's a whole lot of ways to get a hold of us, so pick one out and tell us what you think about Highways and Byways. By the way, one of those contact methods is a 24-hour voicemail line. We share it with House of Prayer Ministries, so leave a comment or a question, a word of encouragement, or a testimony of God's goodness. And be sure to tell us where you picked up your copy of Highways and Byways. That'll help us a lot. You can take as long as you like with a tough Bible question or a spiritual kind of question that you'd like us to tackle on a future volume of Highways and Byways. Maybe a question that someone's thrown at you at some time and you'd like to respond back to them better. Maybe it's a question concerning creation versus evolution. Maybe it's a prayer request. Whatever the case is, that's what the 24-hour voicemail line is there for. That's what the email is there for. That's what the snail mail is there for. To serve you. All right then. Till next month, make sure that you keep it between the lines, my friend, and thank the Lord for it every day. Amen. May the grace of the Lord and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit be with you as you travel on the highways and the byways. Here's that contact information, folks. Now, it's a pretty short track, so if you need to play it back, that's no problem. Let's start with the voicemail, because this is probably the most common way folks will use to get a hold of us. You can call in with your prayer requests, like we said, and your praise reports, a difficult spiritual question, or suggestions and comments. And you can tell us a little bit about you. Let us know where you drive, who you drive for if you want. We'd love to hear from you. That voicemail number is a 24-hour voicemail line. Nobody will pick up. You can talk as long as you need. 1-800-421-3148. That's 1-800-421-3148. You can email us at talk@highwaymag.com. That mag stands for magazine. talk@highwaymag.com for email. The web address is highwaymag.com. That's easy enough. www.highwaymag.com. And you know, if you want to write to us at Highways and Byways, just send it to Highways and Byways, P.O. Box 115, Forksville, PA. That's Highways and Byways, P.O. Box 115, Forksville, PA. Now, if you want Highways and Byways sent directly to your house each month, send a check or a money order for $36. That's $3 per CD, and that includes shipping. Not bad, huh? Send it to that snail mail address we just gave at Highways and Byways. If you want to sponsor a truck stop ministry on a monthly basis, that same $36 will place 14 CDs at an existing truck stop ministry. Or, if you want to become a highway minister and distribute the Highways and Byways monthly audio magazine as you feel led of the Lord, then we'll send them directly to you for that same $36. Now, this is an excellent tool for ministry outreach and something that you can do for the Lord even as you travel out on the highways and the byways. Get a hold of us. Tell us you want to become a highway minister. Now, for listening to all this contact information, here's a bonus song to take you just a little further down the road. Lord bless you.
I heard that preacher say today, there is nothing new under the sun. That burned in me because sometimes I get to thinking I'm the only one. Lord, don't ever let me get down to the place I think I'll do it on my own. Take away my pride in anything that could ever turn my heart to stone. Down every road, there's a turning, it's a place for us to choose. Remember that the road of God is straight, and He will lead you through. There is nothing new under the sun. That burned in me because sometimes I get to thinking I'm the only one.
Lord, don't ever let me get down to the place. I think I'll do it on my own. Take away my pride in anything that could ever turn my heart to stone. Down every road, there's a turn and it's a place for us to choose. Just remember that the road of God is straight, and He will lead you through. Just remember that the road of God is straight, and He will lead you through.